thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
And so our title this morning is Clinging to the Lord. To cling to something means to hold on tightly to it, to strongly adhere to it, and not to let it go no matter what. And so its meaning can also be applied to a particular belief or a pursuit that we stick to. So this would entail our ability and our desire to be loyal to and to cling to something, to be faithful to perhaps a specific group or a particular cause, and to remain absolutely true to them or to it. Another definition is that someone is rather needy. Oh, she's very clingy. You've probably heard somebody say in the past, that child clings to me all the time. I'm sure young mums and young dads have that experience even yet. However, about 15 years ago, we learned a very hard lesson. Most of you know our testimony about not clinging too tightly to earthly possessions when our business went through a very rough patch, and what we had worked very hard for nearly three decades had almost entirely taken away from us in a very short period of time. And then I also learned this valuable lesson through holding a conversation with a friend of mine about not holding too tightly onto earthly or material things. It was this conversation that I had with a friend of mine that he would often come home from school and find that a piece of furniture or perhaps an appliance in the kitchen was gone. And one day he came home and he said to his mum, he says, "Mum, where's the table gone to in the hall?" And she would just say, "Campbell, there was a wee family needed it more than us." And so he learned growing up in this beautiful home, this godly home, his godly parents who were generous and always had a lookout for other people, to not grasp onto things too tightly, material things, that is. And that's a great attitude to have regarding earthly things, that we should not grasp or grip onto them too tightly. But what does Scripture say about us clinging on to the Lord? Well, let's look at a few verses. If you'll turn with me, please, to Psalm 63. And we're going to read verses 1 to 8. Psalm 63. This is one of the Psalms of David. There are various authors. There are about three different authors that have composed different Psalms. Moses would be one. And then there is at least one other. So Psalm 63 and verse 1. First of all, I don't know in your Bible if you've got like a heading at each Psalm, but in mine it says, "Joy in the fellowship of God." And so verse 1 says, "O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and a thirsty land where there is no water. And so I've looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice." And verse 8, this is our key verse. "My soul clings to you. My soul follows close behind you," it may say in your version, "and your right hand upholds me." And so just had a wee look at a few different versions here, a few different translations. The NIV says, "I cling to you, your right hand upholds me." And the NLT says, "I cling to you, your strong right hand holds me securely." The English Standard Version says, "My soul clings to you, your right hand upholds me." The Berean Bible says, my soul clings to your right hand, upholds me. And the King James Bible says, my soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. And then when we look back a few books into the book of Deuteronomy in 10 and verse 20, the King James would say, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave. And swear by his name. The New King James says, you shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him, and to him you shall hold fast and take oaths in his name. And then the New American Standard Bible, you shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him and cling to him, and you shall swear by his name. And so we see a few different versions of this word cling, to cling, or to cleave, or to hold tightly onto the Lord. Clinging to the Lord is most definitely a great biblical theme and a great biblical truth that we are encouraged to grasp and to hold onto. Clinging to the Lord is a posture that we should adopt. And the word cleave is interchangeable with this word cling in many Bible passages. Cleave actually has its roots in a West German origin, kleben, meaning clay or clime. And if you take the word clay as it is in a piece of earth that can be moulded when wet, and then when dried it becomes, it sticks and it cleaves to make a very strong substance, like perhaps a brick that you would build your house with, or pottery. The word to climb is, again, we think of one climbing a rock, like that image that we started off with, or a plant clinging or climbing up a trellis. And then it made me think too, as you know, we have a wedding in a few days' time, and on Tuesday, in Genesis 2, verse 22, one of the earliest sayings in the Bible, and it talks about a man and a woman. This is why a man leaves his father and mother and bonds with his wife, and they become one flesh. The NLT says this explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. And of course, the King James Version says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh. That's probably the most well-known verse or version. And so here at the beginning of creation, we learn about the importance of intimacy between a husband and between a wife. We learn about leaving and we learn about cleaving. And this relationship that God has ordained from the beginning of time between a man and a woman is the scripturally correct order of the relationship between sexes. It also speaks of dependency on one another, as the relationship is a partnership, one leaning on the other, clinging to one another at all times, in the good times and in the bad times and in the ugly times. And let's be honest, we all have those three times. And our need to rely totally upon each other and then upon the Lord as well. And so as a man and a wife would be in the union of marriage, so it mirrors both the intimacy and the dependency that God wants us to have upon him. Not a physical one, of course, but a deep, meaningful, spiritual relationship, a relationship of real intimacy and trust between the Creator and the created, of us cleaving and clinging onto the Lord. One of total trust, of total love and dependency and surrender to our gracious Creator God. It's also great, of course, that we can lean upon one another, that we can lean upon those in our church family. I know that that church means so much to each and every one of you. I know that for some of you, it is all your life. You wouldn't miss church, and you love to get out during the week as well to whatever you can get, because it is your life, and you draw so much strength from coming here and meeting with your brothers and sisters and worshiping the Lord. So we gain great strength from being with one another, depending and relying on the strength and the wisdom and the experience of others to help us through in tough times of trouble. I know that many of you get the newsletter. Most of you would get it probably by email. Some of you get the physical copy that Anne would print out. And I don't know if you had time to read it this week. Anne's devotionals are always really, really great. They're on point. And this is what she had to say. She said this: no matter what season of life we are currently find ourselves in, there will always be a reminder of God's providence, thinking of harvest, of course. And then she says, if we find ourselves in a bright and happy summer-like season of life, we have the joy and the fellowship of loved ones and fellow believers to celebrate with us. And then she goes on to say, if we find ourselves in a bleak winter-like season of life, those same loved ones and precious brothers and sisters in Christ will also be there to lean on and encourage us through that season. Our Creator knows what He is doing and has placed every one of us in the exact position in this life that will bring glory to His name. May we know together as a family of believers and be there for each other, no matter what season we find ourselves in. Isn't that beautiful? Anne didn't know what I was going to be preaching on this morning. So folks, let's not be too proud that we can't ask somebody for help. Because that's what it is when we don't ask for help, because we are proud. And so if we need help, let's reach out to somebody for, even if it's a wee word, or if it's a prayer, or whatever it is, when we are in need and when we're down, let's reach out to others, to our brothers and sisters who love us in Christ and who want the very best for us. Likewise, and this is maybe more importantly, let us be mindful and watchful of others who may be struggling, because we don't always tell people when we're not feeling good. It's the stiff upper lip mentality. How are you doing? Oh, I'm not too bad. Not too bad, that's all you hear from people. I know you get the opposite at times, like that man at the bus stop, Mark. Sounds like he near cut his leg off when you were trying to pull off there. He was telling you about all his woes. But, you know, there could be somebody sitting beside us in church or sitting in front of us who really needs encouraged, who really needs you or me to take a little bit of time to just spend time and chat with them, and not just ask them how they are and move on, but take time to get to know them. There could be somebody who just really needs encouraging this morning. And you may not even get a chance to talk to them in church, but you could follow that up. You could give them a call. You could call around and see them. You could text them, whatever. The point is that we need one another. So let's not be too proud to ask for help, but let us also be looking and watching and praying to see if there are people in the church who need our help at a given time. Perhaps it's just a little word of prayer or something like that that will make all the difference. Esther was in a shop yesterday. She's not often in shops. She doesn't like shopping. But she found herself in a shop, it happened to be. And she got a wee, is it a heart hanger? And for Kip and Nathan for their wedding on Tuesday. And it says this: alone we can do so little, but together we can do so much. Alone we can do so little, but together we can do so much. That's not just about marriage. That's about any relationship whatsoever. And so this applies to the horizontal relationship that we have one with the other, but also the vertical relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you turn with me, please? It's back in the Old Testament to 2 Samuel chapter 23. I know that it's not easy finding these books at times in the Old Testament. If it helps, it's page 414. In my Bible, but that probably doesn't help you. This maybe will help you. If you go to the very end of 2 Samuel or the beginning of 1 Kings, just go back a chapter and you'll get to chapter 23. I'll give you a wee second till you find it there. So it's 2 Samuel 23 and verse 8. I absolutely, absolutely love this portion of Scripture. It's about David's mighty men. These are the names of the mighty men whom David had. Of course, the first name is nearly impossible to pronounce. Joshebash-ebeth. I'm just going to call him Bash. The Tachmonite. Chief among the captains, he was called Adonai the Esnite because he had killed 800 men at one time with his spear. After him was Eliezer, the son of Dodo. He was no Dodo, actually. One of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines who were gathered there for battle, and the men of Israel had retreated. He arose and he attacked the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand stuck, or his hand clove to his sword. His hand stuck to his sword. The Lord brought about a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to plunder. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi the Hararite. The Philistines had gathered together in a troop where there was a piece of ground full of lentils. And so the people fled from the Philistines. But he stationed himself, or he took a stand in the middle of the field. He defended it and he killed the Philistines. So the Lord brought about a great victory. And so this guy, Eliezer, he arose and he struck the Philistines until his hand was weary and clung to the sword. And the Lord brought about a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to strip the slain or to take the plunder. Eliezer's hand literally and physically clung or stuck to his sword. He was one of the mighty men of King David, one of the three absolute top mighty warriors of King David. We read about Bash, as I call him. He used a spear to kill 800 men. Shammah, the man who held his ground in the middle of a field of lentils. And then we have our friend Eliezer here, and his hand stuck to his sword. These were three phenomenally mighty men of courage and bravery. And the Message version says this of Eliezer: he stood his ground and he killed Philistines right and left until he was exhausted, but he never let go of a sword. He was exhausted, but he never let go of his sword. It was a big win for God that day. The army rejoined Eliezer, but all there was left to do was clean up. Eliezer had a vice-like grip upon his sword. He and his trusty sword were one. It was his sword and his reliance upon his sword that won Eliezer the battle. He didn't give up. He didn't give in. He stood his ground against fierce opposition, and God granted him the victory that day. So what do we do when we are at the end of our tether? When, in Mark's words, when a curveball is thrown at us, something that we're not expecting, when we've run out of road, when we find that our backs are against the wall, or we're in a lentil field on our own, fighting the enemy, and the fight is gone out of us, when we are exhausted. He was exhausted, but he never let go of a sword. Even though he was physically and completely punctured, he didn't let go of his sword. And so that would be Eliezer's advice if he was here this morning, and we'll meet him hopefully one day in heaven. But his advice would be, never let go of your sword. Cling to it. Cling to your sword. No matter what, hold it tight and don't put it down. Cling to the Lord and cling to your sword. This is our sword. Eliezer's was a physical sword. This is our sword. This is the sword of the believer of God. Cling to your sword with all your might. Don't let go of it. Always keep your hand on your sword. Always keep it close to you. May our sword and us be one. May we know the word of God so well that when the enemy comes, that we can quote it. We talked about that last week, that we quote it. And when we resist the devil, that he will flee from us, because God's word and the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus, the enemy will flee from that. And so when all else fails, we need to keep holding on to our sword and believing and trusting in it. And folks, when all else fails, when you're hanging on by a thread, and I have been there, I can assure you. And perhaps you have been there, and perhaps there might be somebody this morning, and you're there right now. You are hanging on literally by a thread, and nobody knows it, only you and God. And there could be somebody listening on Zoom, and there could be somebody listening to our podcast, because we know that there are many people who listen to our podcast. Please do share. If you're on Facebook, please do share the church post, because that's spreading God's word far and wide. But you make sure, folks, that if you are hanging by a thread, make sure it's the hem of his garment. Make sure that you're holding on to the hem of his garment. Come what may, whether you're in the eye of the storm and the wind is in your face and that curved ball is coming right at you, you hold on to the Lord. Even if it's by your fingertips, even if it's by your toenails, and I don't know if that's possible, but you hang on by whatever means you can, because the Lord is there for you. And I know through experience that it's mighty hard to do that if you are literally hanging on by your fingertips. And from experience, when I look back at the time when I needed the Lord most, I've got to be honest and say that I don't believe that I was hanging on. I believe the Lord was holding on to me. I honestly believe that, because in my own strength, I could not. I was exhausted in a different sense to Eliezer. But the Lord held on to me. And so, folks, we need to learn to cling to the Lord more than ever before, even if it's by a thread hanging from the hem of his garment. Let's hold on to the Lord. Just as that desperate lady did, because of course that is from that story, that beautiful, beautiful story of that lady who had the issue of blood for 12 years, who had spent everything with the doctors, who was emotionally, physically and financially bankrupt. And she was in the crowd and she saw Jesus, and she knew that if she would only touch the hem of his garment, that she would be healed. And she did that, and guess what? She was healed, because she believed in the power of the healing of Jesus. And so, folks, as I try and bring this into land and wrap it up this morning, what is it that we are clinging to? What is it that we are holding on to more than anything else? Let me throw out a few suggestions. Is it tradition? What do you mean by that? Well, are we clinging on to the way that it's always been, not wanting to change, maybe even opposing change, maybe even opposing some changes in church? And that can happen, believe it or not. We can oppose things and changes. Is it material things and the trappings of wealth, of what we own and what we've worked hard for, really, really hard for, that we are clinging on to? That was me for years. That was my testimony, not proud of it in any way whatsoever, that for years and years when I was building a business and building my own little empire, only for it to fall down around me like a pack of cards, because I was clinging to material things. Maybe you're clinging to your own ability, relying on yourself, on your own know-how, instead of clinging to the Lord and his infinite wisdom. I find this a really big personal challenge, to be honest. And I imagine that many of us do, that you rely on your own ability. And that is good to do that, because God's given us a brain and he's given us a work ethic. And it's right that we work hard and we think, because he has given that to us. But we need to rely more upon the Lord. Could it be our reputation that we're holding tightly to? Man's opinion of us, what people might think of us, rather than what God knows about us. I'm sure you've heard the saying that reputation is what men and women think of us, whereas character is what God knows we are. Reputation is what men and women think of us, but character is what God knows we are. So are we clinging to the Lord? Are we relying totally and completely on him for absolutely everything at all times? That surely is our ultimate goal. So when you get it tight, hold on tight. When you feel like going slow, hold fast. And when you're tempted to slacken off, hold firm. Hold tight to the Lord. Cling closely to him, even if it's by a thread. Keep hanging on, and he will see you through. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you this morning, Lord, for each and every blessing that you have poured upon our lives. Lord, we are truly, truly a very blessed people. And yet, Lord, we know that there are times, Lord, when we're in the heat of the battle. Lord, when that curveball has been thrown at us. Lord, when what we thought was sound and secure and everything was rosy in the garden, all of a sudden has just taken a different direction. And Lord, we pray that if there's anyone feeling like that this morning, Lord, that you would be ever so close to them. Lord, we pray that if there's somebody here this morning and they are really, really struggling, Lord, we pray that they would speak to somebody in confidence and just chat with them and ask for prayer. Lord, we pray that every one of us would look out for every one of us. Lord, we pray that you would help us, Lord, to be there for others, to encourage them, to lift them up, to strengthen them, to pray for them, and Lord, to do for them what they need. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just, that you would open our spiritual eyes, that you would, Lord, speak into our hearts, that you would reveal even to us, Lord, if there is somebody, Lord, who needs you and needs help, that we would be aware of that and that we would help them. So, Lord, we thank you again, Lord, for this church, for our church family. We thank you, Lord, for everybody here this morning, those who are listening online, all of the families, Lord, that are represented. And, Lord, just before I close in prayer, I lift up once again Lawrence McFeely to you. Lord, lying in that hospital bed, and, Lord, I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit and in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that you would touch him even right now. Lord, that you would make him every whit whole. Lord, that you would clear those infections within his body. And Lord, that you would touch him and raise him up, Lord, to full health and strength. Once again, we pray for Helen and for Joanne and Arnie and the family, Lord, that you would bless them and give them your peace at this time in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.